Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to be singing "Tell It to Jesus." You can go ahead and sing along in your home as I sing here, and I hope you enjoy our Bible study this evening. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
All right, we are going to talk about some prayer requests right now, and we're going to have Brother Chris Jury pray for us as we look at some of these requests. We are going to remember some of these spiritual needs that we have in our church. We are praying for Thomas Worley's father with some spiritual growth. We are praying for the Craggy Prison inmates. We'll be praying for Kian Henderson and Matthew Waller. Pray for a member of Michelle Shields' family, Marco. We're in prayer for Anita Roberts, a request from Miss Lisa. We're praying for Jessica, is Michelle's co-worker for salvation. Pray for Nathan, Miss Miriam's nephew. Pray for Nathan. We're also praying for some of our physical needs. Praying for Naomi Shields as she had the eye surgery. Everything went well, and she's just recovering from that. Be in prayer for those children that are sick. We know this past Sunday we had many children out sick, and just be in prayer for them. Mr. Earl Jury still recovering from his knee replacement surgery. We're praying for Miss Margaret Chapman and praying for her respiratory infection. Miss Raquel, and pray for her with laryngitis. Miss Betty Huff with knee pain. Miss Julie Washburn is recovering from knee surgery. Pray for Charlotte's back, and Debbie Jackson, she's still on oxygen. We have so many people that have congestion, maybe not be feeling well. Just pray for those that are sick. Those that have physical needs that may be outside of our church, we are praying for Owen's father. Pray for Pastor Boyer's father. Pastor Boyer is traveling down to pick his father up. His eyes, is having an issue with his eyes closing. They gave him medicine, and the medicine actually helped his eyes to open, but really zapped his energy. And so now he's getting some treatment down in Florida, and he's going to go down there, travel down there, and drive his father up to Pennsylvania. So just be in prayer for the traveling there, but also pray for his father. We're praying for Johnny Wright's mother with dementia. We're also praying for the health of Kian Henderson. We'll be praying for Mrs. Buck's father. I'll be in prayer for him. And be in also prayer for Mrs. Washburn's mother and father. Pray for them. Also, let's be in prayer for a friend of ours, Tom Farrell. Thank you. Tom Farrell has a brain tumor, cancer, and it's cancerous. Be in prayer for him, as we just heard that. We're praying for a friend of Mel's who has found out he has colon cancer and stage 4, doesn't have long to live. Be in prayer for Basil Fancy. We're praying for Lee Davis, not doing well with cancer. We're also praying for Mr. McConkie's son, a pastor over in the eastern part of North Carolina. Be in prayer for President Trump, especially at this time. I want to, as you heard on the call yesterday, I want to make sure that we are all praying at noon. I hope you pray today at noon, praying for our president, our country, the world, and this COVID-19 virus. We are praying for our country as well as other countries, and so we need to pray for them. Pray for those that are still recovering from the tragedy in Nashville, the tornado, and then we hear about a earthquake in Utah. Pray for those that are involved with that. I also want to draw our attention to our missionaries, the Kaisers in Spain are really going through a tough time as they are quarantined to their house. They cannot go out of their house and out of their home unless they're going grocery shopping or they're going to the hospital. So they cannot leave their home. And so that is actually being enforced by the police there. And so be in prayer for them. Also, the Kesslers were supposed to come home in 30 days, and that might be canceled. So just be in prayer for them during that time. And so many others of our missionaries going through a tough time with this virus. I know we are doing so much here in America, and a lot's going on in America, and we're going through it. But this is a worldwide pandemic. So we want to make sure that we pray for our people, our missionary families. And I know we have divvied out our missions family. So be in prayer for them, divvied them out to pray for, pray in prayer for them, and really earnestly pray for them at this time. Be in prayer for our school, our children. We have given them work. I pray that they'll be diligent in their work. As we've given that to them. Also, pray for our teachers. Pray for the people. I know of people who will not be in work for the next 30 days. They'll not be working. And so financial needs, and just be in prayer for them. And pray for our church during this time. There's always going to be financial needs. And by the way, the Lord knows it all. And I know that we need to pray for these things, but God already has his answer. We're thankful for that. Well, we do have Friend Day right now, still on the schedule, and we're praying for that and what to do with that. So if you would pray with me about that. Brother Chris Jury is going to go to the Lord in prayer for us and remember some of these requests.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, we want to bring as many prayer requests before you. We know our hearts are heavy for many of us that are what's going on around us and what our families are going through. We do want to pray for this nation. We lift our president up to you, dear Heavenly Father. We pray you give him the wisdom. We pray for our elected officials that know you as Lord and Savior. They continue to stand up for what's right and seek you. We pray through this that you would bring a revival to this nation, dear Heavenly Father. Bring a revival to this world. We know you can open the hearts of many through this hard times, dear Heavenly Father. We wouldn't harden our hearts, but we would soften our hearts and listen to you during this hard time. We pray for our pastor, dear Heavenly Father. We know there's many decisions that pastors have never had to make. There's hard decisions being made. We know their hearts are heavy for their church family, dear Heavenly Father, because they dearly love them and they don't want to see them suffer. We pray just give them the wisdom as they seek you to make the right decisions and having services and how to take care of their members and how to help the community, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for our pastor's family also, dear Heavenly Father. We know during these times, it's a burden on them also, dear Heavenly Father, because they're going through this with them. We pray for our youth pastor, the Boyers, dear Heavenly Father, be with them, be with all of our staff. We think of the Bucks, and we think of the Washburns. We pray you and lift each and every one of them up. We thank you, Brother Washburn, who's made decisions in the school. Give him the wisdom and the guidance you need during, that he needs, dear Father, to make the correct decisions. Be with our teachers during this off time. Lift them up. Be with our students that they would continue to have a heart to want to serve you, dear Father, and be used by you. We do think of our deacon family, Ed and Barb Henderson. We pray you lift them up, touch them, give Ed the health he needs, strengthen him, dear Father. We think of our church member, Tony Hensley, we're praying for this week. You touch him, lift him up. Be with our missionaries, the Broad Streets in Canada, dear Father. We have a special touch with them after being with them 6 years ago. They have a tougher ministry there in Canada, but they continue to serve you with the French Canadians. We know their church has been slower to grow, but they never give up, dear Father. They continue to give out the gospel in the community and see souls saved. We pray for many of our missionaries right now. They're in foreign lands, dear Father, where their freedoms are already limited, but right now many of their freedoms are really limited. We think of you lift each and every one of them up, give them that peace they need, dear Father. I think of as church members that we could reach out to them and lift them up, dear Father, during this hard time, and give us the wisdom to know when to do that. We think of Dwayne's dad, dear Father. Just lift him up, give the doctors the knowledge and wisdom they need, strengthen his body, give Pastor Boyer safety traveling down to see him, and then safety as they go back to Pennsylvania and as he comes home. Just lift them up, dear Father. We think of Brother Tom Farrell, as we hear the news now that he has a brain tumor. We pray you be with the family as they're seeking the right surgeon to do the brain surgery, and then for the treatments to follow. We know he's a man that loves you. We know there's many people in this church and this country that have been saved under his ministry, dear Father, and affected by the ministry he has and the love he has for you. We pray that you would be with the sickness in the church. We know there's a lot of people that are sick or their illnesses or recovering from surgery. We pray that each and every one of them, you would touch them, lift them up, dear Father, heal them, give them the strength they need. We think of some ministries in our church. We think of Craggy Prison. Just be with Brother Mel, dear Father, as he goes out and he preaches the gospel of these men and they have a receptive heart. We pray that through this ministry, men would get saved and we know it can change their life completely, dear Father. We do think of those who are wayward right now. We think of Kean Henderson and Matthew Waller, who have been praying for. We know you can touch them. You can bring them back, dear Father. We know they're running from you, dear Father. They've heard the gospel. They've heard the truth, but right now they're running. We think of the upcoming Friend Day we're going to have. We have these many names on here. We have Richard and Joshua and Matthew and Mia and Nicole and Eric. And we think of Beth and Jared, Fred, and there's many others that will be added, dear Father. We pray as a church that our hearts would be attuned to know who to invite, and we get out and invite these people so they can hear your gospel, dear Father. And we just want to pray that you be with Pastor Boyers or Pastor Creed as he gives the message right now. Just lift him up, open our hearts and our ears. We know we can't be together as a family in one location, dear Father, but we know we can be worshiping and praying together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Chris. We're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 4 this evening. Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read a couple of verses to you. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be reading verse 6 and verse 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's important that we keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I want to deal with this thought that's pretty prevalent here today and understanding what we're going through. This thought, one word, worry. Worry. Let's pray. Lord, be with us as we look at your word. Speak to my heart. Speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I read about a wife of a federal district court judge who at the clearance sale found a perfect green tie to match one of her husband's sport coats. A little later, the couple was relaxing at a resort to get his mind off a complicated cocaine conspiracy case. He noticed a small, round disc sewn into his tie. He thought it was suspicious and called the local FBI, who was equally suspicious that it might be a bug planted by the conspiracy defendants. The agent sent the device to the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. for analysis. A few days later, the judge phoned Washington to find the results of the test. He was told, "We are not sure where the disc came from, but we discovered that when you press it, it plays Jingle Bells." That's comical, but I'm understanding that that's kind of funny, but there is worry there. They're worried over nothing. There's a quote I like to often quote these people. Mark Twain says this, "I am an old man and have known many troubles, but most of them never happened." There have been repeated studies that show that most of the things we worry about are not legitimate worries. 60% of our worries are unwarranted. 20% of have already become past activities and are completely out of our control. 10% are so petty that they don't make any difference at all. Of the remaining 10%, only 4 to 5% are real and justifiable. And of the remaining 5%, you can't do anything about half of them. What they've discovered in the University of Michigan doing this study, they discovered that only 2% of the things we worry about are real, and 90% of them we worry about are a complete waste of time, and they're fruitless because there's nothing there or we can't even do anything about it. So in spite of the 2% of worries being legitimate, we are a generation that spends most of our time living on the corner of Fretful Avenue and Anxiety Boulevard. Let me deal with the worry of the virus that's going on today. We can be informed and not worried. We can take precautionary actions and be safe without being worried. We can live through this and get through this without being worried. But the minute that we worry about this virus is the moment we stop believing God is all-powerful and in control. Someone has said that worry is the interest you pay of trouble before it comes. Corrie ten Boone said this, "When we worry, we are carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days of loads in one." Someone has said that worrying people are like tightrope walkers going over a rope from the past to the future. They balance between hope and fear. In one hand, they carry a sack with undigested past. In the other hand, a sack with anticipated future. So let's look at and consider the matter of worry and seek to learn from God's word how to handle worry. Number one, life disturbed by worry. Life disturbed by worry. What do you mean when we talk about worry? What does that talk about? The term anxiety comes from the same root as anger and suggests the idea of choking. When we talk about worry, we are talking about being torn in two different directions, which result in an inner turmoil that chokes and strangles life of its vitality. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we read, "Be careful for nothing." Now, the word careful means to be filled up with care. It's a command not to be worried. Not to be worried. The force of the words is that we are to stop worrying and we are not to worry about one thing. I want you to listen to what William G. Channon says. He says, "Worry is entirely unscriptural. As Christians, we have taken the precepts of the scripture for our standard of living. We look upon the Bible as our final court of appeals in all life's details. Who can deny that within its pages no warrant is found for worrying?"
Lockyer says, when a Christian worries, he is living in the wrong climate, for any kind of worry is foreign to his life in Christ. Hawkins says, many of us assume that God merely looks upon worry with a frown, but the fact is he strictly forbids it in his word. And we turn to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. We can turn to Matthew chapter 6 and see what the Bible says about this. And notice what Jesus has to say about worrying. What does Jesus have to say about worrying? Matthew chapter 6. Turn over to Matthew, the book of Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. And in verses 25 through 33, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 33, Jesus speaks about this subject of worrying. Worry is needless. It's needless. Jesus spoke of the things that we often worry about the most. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and body more than raiment? Is that not true today? We're going through a time when you go into the supermarket and there's no bread on the shelf. There's a limited food supply, and that brings us worry. You see videos online of limited food supply, and that will bring worry to you. Food, fashion, fitness, finances, and the future we are not to worry about, because all these things are temporary. The words take no thought mean do not be worried. Verse 26, he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. You ever think about that? The birds, they don't have any supermarkets, although I've seen a bird in a supermarket before. It wasn't a pleasant experience. They don't have supermarkets, bird supermarkets to go into and to buy their stuff. They have to go out and hunt. And who gives them that? The fullness of the earth is the Lord's. The Lord produces food for the birds. And then at the end it says, are ye not much better than they? Are we worrying about food, fashion, fitness, finances, future? Look at verse 28, Matthew chapter 6. He not only spoke of the fowl of the air, but also of the flowers in the field. He says, and why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The second illustration that Jesus used was the lilies of the field. He said that they were not filled with the worry about their growth. Even Solomon was not arrayed. The richest man, the wealthiest man in all the world, most wise man in all the world, he was not even arrayed as they are. Verse 30, Matthew 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Listen to this thought. O ye of little faith. Jesus asked, if the Father clothes the grass and lilies of the field, he will not clothe you? The answer is obviously yes. Therefore, worry is needless. The point is God will take care of us. We do not have to worry about these things, and therefore it is needless to worry. And after all these things, we still worry. Worry is faithless. Look at verse 6 again, or chapter 6, verse 30 of Matthew. At the end it says, O ye of little faith. Jesus said that worry was a lack of faith. When we worry, we are showing our distrust of God. He said that we would take care, that he would take care of us and meet the needs of our life. But when we worry, we are showing our lack of faith in what he said. I love this poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Instead of worrying about things, trust your heavenly Father. As Corrie ten Boom said, don't wrestle, just nestle. A little boy was in an airplane next to a man that did not like to fly. The man was already worrying about the flight, and when the turbulence got severe, he looked down at the boy and said, "Why are you not afraid?" The boy stated, "My father is the pilot." Our Father is the pilot. We have a Heavenly Father, and He's the pilot of this world. He's the pilot of our life. Why are we worrying when there's turbulence in our life? Why are we worrying when there's turbulence in the world? We have a Heavenly Father that is piloting this life, this world. Can we sit back and relax? Can we understand and put our faith in Jesus Christ? Worry is useless. It's useless. Look at verse number 27 of Matthew chapter 6. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Wouldn't that be nice if we can just think about adding money to our bank account? If you just think about it, it's in there. That's not how it happens, is it? When we see the cupboard that is bare, the cupboard's bare, we can think about a package of Oreos, and that, boy, it appears right there, a nice package of Oreos. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And if we worry, things are not just going to get better. Someone has said that worrying is like rocking in a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but you won't go anywhere. The Italian proverb says, 100 hours of worry will not pay a farthing worth of debt. Worry does not help, it only hurts. Worry does not eliminate our problems, but only enlarges our problems. Worry is needless. Worry is faithless. And worry is useless. This is why in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing. Do not worry about anything." We see there's a destruction of worry, but there's also deliverance from worry, a deliverance from worry. How do we handle worry in our life? When worry sets in, when worry comes into our life, and I know as I'm speaking here this evening, someone's listening that has worry in their life. They're worrying. How do we get rid of that worry? The Bible says, Philippians 4, 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We are given two specific steps to take to handle worry in our life. First of all, we ought to turn to God in prayer with our worries. Instead of worrying about anything, we are to pray about everything. Did you get that? Instead of worrying about anything, we ought to pray about everything. When we are worried about matters, we are to turn to the Lord. Many are like Sir Walter Scott. Sir Walter Scott, during the closing years of his life, was settled with a debt of £120,000. In time, he heroically disposed of the debt, but it cost him his life. He literally worried himself so over the repayment of the debt that it broke his health and led to death. His doctor said to him one day, "Sir Walter, if you do not cease worrying, you will die." Scott looked up with a sad smile as he said, "Why, doctor, as long as the debt is hanging over my head, I cannot help but worry. I know the worrying is killing me, but you might as well go ahead and tell my cook to order the water in the kettle not to boil as to command my brain not to worry." Scott thought he had to carry on the load himself. He thought that he could bore the load by himself. He didn't realize that there's a God in heaven that wants to carry our burden. We ought to turn to God in prayer. With our worries, we ought to turn to God in prayer about our worries. We are told, "Let your request be made known unto God." We are not only to turn to God with what worries us, but also talk to God about what worries us. We are to tell Him things that are pulling us into and filling us in the inner turmoil. What are things that you worry about? Before this virus, what were you worrying about? During this virus, we know our minds are on this virus, but it's the precautionary measures that we've put in place that have caused some issues in our country, and it brings some worry amongst us. What are you worried about? Are you worried about a payment that you might miss? Are you worried about money you might not have? Are you worried about family members that might get sick and might pass away? Are you worrying about getting the virus? Someone once penned this, you might remember this, or it might come to your memory. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Are you willing to forfeit your peace? Oh, what needless pain we bear. Needless pain. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We see the destruction by worry. We see deliverance from worry. But there's a defense from worry as well. See, when you get worried, you have worry in your life. We need to go to God in prayer. But how do we keep worry out of our life? We're not only to stop worrying, but also we are to keep from worrying. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God can fill the heart and mind with a peace that will defend us from worry. Notice the peace of God that will bring us joy. When our hearts are filled with God's peace, instead of a perplexed heart, there is a peaceful heart. Instead of a worry, there is a worship. Instead of troubled heart, there is a trusting heart. Instead of a grieved heart, there is a gladdened heart. Back in the days of World War I, an unusual thing happened on a certain Christmas Eve. Battle-weary men in one trench began to sing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." In the opposite trenches, the men began to sing, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." For a little while, cannon ceased their booming. Rifles were laid down, and there was a calm. When God's peace fills our heart, there is a blessed calm in the heart. No more struggling, fighting, and warring. All is calm. I want you to get this. Listen to this. The manufactured peace of the flesh of this world is not the master's peace that is fresh every morning. Did you hear that? The manufactured peace of the flesh in this world is not the master's peace that is fresh every morning. God's peace will guard the heart. Notice the word "shall keep" in verse 7. That's a form of military word. It means "shall mount guard." God's peace acts like a sentinel who mounts guard and patrols the heart and mind to keep anything from worrying us. Prayer stops us from worrying, and peace keeps us from worrying. Prayer stops us from worrying, and peace keeps us from worrying. I pray that you are in prayer, that you are in contact with God, and I pray that you keep that peace with you. Several years ago, a submarine was being tested and had to remain submerged for many hours. When, in return to the harbor, the captain was asked, "How did the terrible storm last night affect you?" The captain looked at him surprised and said, "Storm? We didn't even know there was one. The sub had been so far beneath the surface that it hadn't even reached the area known as to the sailors as the cushion of the sea. The ocean can be whipped in huge waves by high winds, but the waters below are never disturbed. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Listen to this. How can we be in perfect peace? "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." God's peace is our cushion from the storm. He gives us the peace. How can we keep our mind on him? Well, the Bible says in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true?" Is God truth? Absolutely. What sort of things are honest? He is honest. What sort of things are just? He is just. What sort of things are pure? He is pure. What sort of things are lovely? He is lovely. What sort of things are good report? That's what we get from the Word of God. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, now listen to this. This is a command, not a suggestion. Think on these things. What have you been meditating on all day? What have you been meditating on in the past week? If you watch the news, I know what you've been meditating on. You can meditate on the problems, but that's not going to bring you peace. Why don't you meditate on the person of Jesus Christ? Spend some time in the Word of God. Spend some time on your knees. And let's have prayer. Let's have a time of coming back to God during these time of quarantine, a time of staying apart from people. Let's get to God. We will never be quarantined away from God, but we can be quarantined to God. Let's also get in the Word of God. Time of study. I pray that you may find some chapters in the Word of God just to get along with your family and spend time in the Word of God. Have your mind stayed on Him. That's where we're going to get the peace of God. Don't worry. Don't worry. God is in control. I remember thinking about the story of Joseph. If you remember, his brothers sold him into slavery, but before they did, they put him in a pit and put him down there, and they were going to keep him there. But what was interesting was they showed their father something. They showed their father a coat of many colors that he gave Joseph. Jacob gave him his coat of many colors, and he looked at his father. Joseph's father looked at this coat of many colors, and it was torn, and there was blood on it. And the father identified that as Joseph's coat. And what was interesting is, as he looked at that, he saw and believed that his son was dead. Now we know, we see the big picture of what was going on. God was moving Joseph to Egypt for a purpose, for a plan. But Jacob didn't see that plan. He couldn't see the big picture. And now we're living in a day and age where you only see part. You can only see part of what God's doing. We know that God has a bigger plan. We know that God has an end game. We know that God has a purpose for this. Can we rely on Him? Can we trust in Him? Can we keep our mind stayed on Him? Lord, we love You. We thank You for this time. I pray that we'll spend our time connecting with You in prayer. I pray that we'll spend our time in the next few months searching for this peace to You. Searching God, helping our minds to be stayed on God. Trusting in God and You. Lord, help us to be faithful in that so we won't worry. Worry can bring damage to us and our family. I pray that we won't. I pray that we can trust in You. Lord, I pray that You'll bring us back soon. And I pray for all those that are involved, the doctors. I pray for the decisions that our leaders are making. I pray for those that are being infected. I pray for those families who have lost a loved one due to this virus. Lord, I pray for our missionaries in the countries across seas that are really going through at this time. Lord, I pray that You'll protect us now. Lord, I know that You've called us to be protective of our flock and of our people here. But Lord, help us not to worry or fear. But Lord, help us to have faith in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.